A couple of weeks ago, the scripture lesson was the one that comes right before this one, where Jesus uses a phrase, a passage from Isaiah, and talks about how the poor and the hungry and et cetera will be filled and satisfied. And he was in Nazareth in the synagogue, and the people were all excited about what he said. This passage begins sort of overlapping that. It begins with Jesus saying to the people who were in that synagogue in Nazareth on that day, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I can imagine that there was almost a kind of an electric atmosphere, if you will. Oh, boy. We have a prophet in our midst. Finally, someone has come to save Israel. And they were excited. They were especially excited because I think in their mind and in their spirit, they thought that Jesus was now going to bring sort of special favors for them in particular. He was the hometown boy. He had made good. And they were excited. They could claim him as their own. And for sure, that meant that people would stop talking about Nazareth as if it was some backwoods, backwater place. They would finally gain some recognition. But Jesus was quick to dissuade them from their thinking. Quick to deny that they would have any special treatment just because they were residents of Nazareth. There would be nothing special for them, no special favors, just because he was the hometown boy. In fact, he immediately reminds them of two events in the history of Israel. One where, in the time of Elijah, there was a famine in the land and the heavens had been closed up. It had not rained in over 3 years. And rather than being sent to heal someone who was from Israel, Elijah was sent to heal a foreigner. And then he follows it up with Elijah's successor, Elisha, who was, again, not sent to someone from Israel, but to someone from Syria. In both cases, non-Jews who received God's grace. As soon as he gives these two examples, which are really out of their own scripture, and they must have heard these stories quite often, as soon as they heard them, they were like, "We're done with you. We're done with you." And they drove him out of town, supposedly to the brim of a hill nearby. I don't really know where that was, but someplace. With the intent of throwing him off the hill. They wanted to kill him for what he said. And yet, the scripture tells us that he disappeared from the midst of them. He somehow managed to get away, to wander off. We don't know how that happened. It just says that that's what happened. You see, their commitment to the boundaries that they had set for God's grace said that what Jesus was trying to tell them was just too much for them. Just too much. Their boundaries took precedence over the idea that God's grace could be more than they could imagine. You see, God's grace, one commentator has said, is never subject to limitations and boundaries that we would make, that denominations would make, that churches would make, that governments might make, that individuals might make. God's grace is not subject to those boundaries. Years ago, when Troy Perry had the inspiration from God, and he says it was with a still small voice of God speaking to him, and he put an ad in the Advocate and said, anybody that wants to come and worship can come to, and it was his home. Can you imagine what his roommates were thinking? To come and to worship, and about 12 people showed up, and he could even tell you how much the offering was. It wasn't much. And because they didn't have a choir then, he played a recording of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And although he was a Pentecostal, he knew it was important to some people, and he wore a collar and he served communion. Both things outside of the boundaries of his experience. And from that first meeting, MCC has grown around the world. In those early days when they decided to name our denomination the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, and isn't that a mouthful? With those few churches that had come together in Los Angeles to say we want to somehow work together, and they in that moment used the word universal, knowing somehow that God was doing something. And that this was going to be more than just in the United States, more than just in California, more than just wherever those churches were from, that it would be a universal message that would be sent. And through the 41 years of our history, boy, have there been changes. From meeting in a small home to moving to another small place to another small place, finally here we are. And we've been here long enough now that we had to repaint the building. And I think we need to replace the carpet, among other things, and those are just physical. You see, Jesus was about something. And we have a tendency even today to try to so personalize or so spiritualize what Jesus was about that we're afraid to push the boundaries. Years ago, I wrote a letter to Troy Perry after, I don't remember what the particular circumstances were, but I was very worried. And I wrote this letter to Troy, and he, thank God, never responded to me. Sometimes that's a good thing. And I was all worried somehow that we needed to have some kind of boundary around our faith. You know, that we needed to make some determinations as to who was in and who wasn't. Can you believe I wrote that to Troy years ago? It was probably 20 plus years ago now that I wrote that. And thank God he never responded. All of us are on some kind of a journey. Now I'm the chair of the Commission on the Statement of Faith, and we're rewriting our faith statement. Wait till you see it. There's probably going to be some things you think should be in it that are missing. There's probably some things in it that you won't like. But we wrote it as a prayer on purpose. And we started with Open Table. Even preachers can grow. God's grace is never subject to the limitations and boundaries we would try to create. See, in this sort of spiritualized and personalized faith that I think some of us still carry around, you know, it's all about me, and it's all about my salvation, and it's all about my getting to heaven. No, it's not. It's a whole lot less about you than it is about the person sitting next to you, or the person who isn't even here yet. It's much more about them. You see, I think we're asked to reach higher. I read a book long ago, before I even went to seminary, that was entitled, Your God is Too Small. Anybody ever read that book? J.B. Phillips, I think. I was in a little study group at a Methodist church, and we read that book together, Your God is Too Small. We're asked to reach higher in our understanding of who God is. God is not just our own personal possession. God's much bigger than that. I find it interesting that there was a professor at Wheaton College that got into trouble, and they're evidently trying to fire her because she wore a hijab in an attempt to make a connection between herself as a Christian and Muslims. And basically what she said is, it's the same God. And they're trying to fire her. She's the only African-American woman on their faculty. I can't help to see, wonder if there's something else going on there. But isn't God God of everybody? And we may refer to God in different ways, and each one of us experiences God differently. But if we continue to try to hold God so close that God is our own personal possession, we'll never be able to reach up high enough to really see who God is. And as we're reaching higher, we also need to reach deeper into our own experience. We need to reach deeper into our own study. We need to reach deeper into the Word. We need to be more open to what the Word will tell us. You know, one of the things that I do when I study for sermons is read a whole variety, kind of a wide swath of commentary on Scripture. And I try to go all the way from left to right. And it's amazing to me the difference, you know. You see, when the seed is sent out, in some people, it doesn't take any root at all. And it can quickly wither and die. Jesus talks about this too. Or the weeds can come up and choke the Word and our experience. But it's about going deeper, to allow the Word to reach deep within us, get a good hold. And when we do that, the Word opens itself up in ways that maybe we didn't even imagine. Because what I saw when I was studying for this, and I study for other things, those folks on the right, again, they want to spiritualize everything and personalize everything. And that's okay to a point. But when the Word goes deeper within us, it does something. It requires study. It requires work to do that. And we offer all sorts of opportunities, don't we, Reverend Brad? Yes, for that, for you to reach deeper in your faith. But I encourage that you reach deeper. Because when that happens, you'll find yourself also reaching wider. And when we reach wider, you know, I love the fact that Jesus was on the cross with his arms stretched wide out, wide. And hardly wide enough to include every possibility of person that could be touched by God's grace and God's love. We talk a lot about radical hospitality. It's about reaching wider, beyond sometimes our own comfort levels, so that more people can get a hold of God's grace and God's love. So they can personalize it for them, but then reach higher, reach deeper, and reach wider. Because again, it's more than just about us. MCC should be one of the most diverse communities of faith in any city it's located in. That it's not about just the alphabet, LGBTQIA, whatever. In fact, it's not about labels at all. There was a great piece somebody put out on Facebook about labels. We got to find it and show it to you because it's amazing. It got me thinking. What do I first see when I see somebody? And we do that. We label. The first thing you might see might be color, or it might be gender, or it might be something else. Age or youth, or they're all labels. When we reach wider, we let go of the labels and we receive people as they are. And then, King of Peace, it's about reaching farther. We've done that some. Our strategic plan says we are to assist with the planting of at least one or two churches every strategic plan, every 3, 4, 5 years. And I'm so excited that we have helped to plant a new work in Cuba. Now, we have helped to support that church financially in Cuba. It only takes $300 a month. That's not a lot by our standards. But it helps MCC be planted in Cuba. And who knows what could happen in Cuba as a result of an MCC being there. Who can tell? I had the opportunity one time at a general conference, I think it was one of the conferences in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I was sitting in a workshop just, you know, wasn't leading it, I was sitting in it, and I think Reverend Elder Don Eastman was leading it, and I don't even remember what the topic was, but at some point in the response time or question time, I got up and said something, or asked something, or whatever, and somebody who was sitting, I think, in front of me, whipped around to look to see. And I thought, oh, that's kind of strange. What is he doing, whipping around like that? Well, he'd evidently never seen my face, but he'd been listening to my sermons online, and he recognized my voice, and he was from the Philippines. From the Philippines. And he was at that general conference because of what he had heard in my sermons from Washington, D.C. Reaching farther. Opening up so that God will touch whoever, wherever, through the ministry of King of Peace. We're at 41 years old now. Wow. That's young, you know? At least at my age, I think it is. You know? You know, the older you get, you know. I spent some time watching basketball yesterday, especially the Kansas-Kentucky game. Woohoo! I don't have any, you know, great feeling about either team, but I just love watching basketball. And I commentate, Barbara says, as we go along. She said she could turn the volume down and, you know, follow the game from my comments, but can do that with football and baseball, too. and I'm learning how to do it with hockey. Anyway, I sat there watching, and I at one point I went, God, they're young. Those players, you know, playing college basketball. It never had quite hit me before how young they are. 41 years. Yet, I think God's only started with us. Amen. I think God wants us to open the gates to God's grace so that we reach higher to a better understanding of who God is, that we reach deeper, that we study, that we contemplate, that we meditate, that we do those things which will grow the Word and God in us. That we, as a result, reach wider. Those poor people from Nazareth couldn't reach wide. They could not include somehow those that Elijah and Elisha had touched. They couldn't do it. And so Jesus never went back to Nazareth. He never went back. And to reach farther into our world with the good news of God's love and God's grace for everybody. We've come a long way, but I believe we've got a long way yet to go. Individually and as a community. God's not done with us yet. Any of us. God won't be done with us until they either put us 6 feet under or whatever. God will never be done with us. And we stand on the shoulders of people who have been believers before us. May there be people who stand on our shoulders. And though they may never know our name or hear our voice, what we do will prepare the way for them so they too can reach higher and deeper and wider and farther with God's love and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, who never quite understood that faith was parochial, or that it was just for him. But he took his relationship with you and flung it wide open so that the whole world could get a touch and could grow. Thank you for our 41 years. And thank you for the years that lie ahead. May we simply be faithful as you guide us and direct us into that future. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.